Fox Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people, thanks to the makers of
Roma Seltzer.
Tonight, Romo Seltzer's Vox Pop train travels to the Marine Air Station, Cherry Point, North Carolina, where your two Vox Poppers, Ed Sullivan and Peter Donald, pinch-hitting for vacationing Parks Johnson and Warren Hull, will talk with some of the 35,000 men and women of the Marine Corps who are stationed there. We take you first to the radio control tower of the Marine Air Base at Cherry Point.
Peter Donald, and what you just heard was an actual dive bombing attack on our Vox Pop microphones by four Marine dive bombers.
Peter, I'm sure glad they're only kidding, because when those boys pinpoint a target, goodbye target. Right, fellas and gals?
Yes, sir, we're Vox Popping tonight before 8,000 Marines who are stationed here at Cherry Point, North Carolina, the largest Marine air base in the world.
And I've got one of those Marines right here, Peter. He's just back from Iwo Jima, and I want you to meet him. From Alliance, Ohio, Ernest Linsmeyer. Ernie, it's very nice to have you on the program tonight. What were you doing at Iwo Jima?
We were on sub-patrol for the island's defense.
Well, now, exactly what would sub-patrol at Iwo Jima consist of?
Well, the Japs were trying to get in supplies for the Japs fighting on the island.
Uh-huh. What were they bringing in? Ammunition and food? And
they were trying to get the supplies to Japs. And they tried to also get American ships who were supplying their own men.
So you fellas up there in the bombers, you sort of moved out and kicked them around. Now, what battle station did you hold in the bomber? Just move right into that microphone, Ernie, and just be completely relaxed.
I was a turret gunner on a Grumman Avenger torpedo bomber.
Now, tell me something back home. Is your mother alive?
Yes, she is. She's home now. By the way, today's her birthday.
Today is your mother's birthday? Well, that's wonderful. Now, I'm very sorry that by the rules of radio, we're not allowed to wish your mother a very happy birthday on this occasion. I really am. Is your dad alive?
No, my father died when I was 5 years old.
Mm-hmm. Now, back in Alliance, Ohio, what did you do?
Well, Ed, I used to be a newspaper man myself.
You used to be a newspaper man?
Yeah, I used to sell them.
I see. Well, that's the most important part of the job, as a matter of fact. Ernie, what do you mean you sold them?
Well, I used to sell subscriptions to Youngstown Vindicator, and I won 2 trips to World's Fair.
For selling Sunday subscriptions or subscriptions to the Youngstown Vindicator?
That's right, Ed.
Well, that's one of you. Did you enjoy New York?
I think it's a very wonderful town. I enjoyed it very much.
Now, what else did you do out in Alliance, Ohio? What did you go into sports?
I used to play baseball quite a bit.
What position did you play?
Shortstop.
Pretty good?
Well, I hope so. I thought I was a little bit.
Well, what leagues did you play in?
Oh, I played from D up to A, and then American Legion and VFW on Sundays.
Pretty good arm?
Well, it's pretty strong.
What are you going to do after the war? Do you want to get into baseball?
I certainly would. That's my only ambition.
Into the big leagues?
That's what I want to do.
Now, who is your ideal of a great player, shortstop? Did you ever see Leo DeRocher play baseball?
No, I never, but I like Lou Boudreau quite well.
Lou Boudreau is awfully good. I tell you what, you know, it's really a small old world, because you're here, you are a Marine back from Iwo Jima, you want to get in the big league baseball. We have a Marine here who was a big league star, and from Grenada, Mississippi, by way of Bradentown, Florida, from the, you remember the Philadelphia Phillies pitcher who led the league 1 year, who led the Phillies 1 year and earned runs?
It was Ike Pearson.
Lieutenant Ike Pearson! Two fellas ever meet in service?
Well, I saw Ike Pearson at Pearl Harbor on my way back to the States.
What, at a baseball game or what?
Yeah, he was at the baseball game at Eva.
Were you playing baseball in the service,
Ike? I was organizing a ball club out there, Ed.
Didn't you play?
No, I didn't.
Why not?
Well, I didn't get in the Marine Corps to play baseball. That's what I feel about.
What did you want in the Marine Corps?
Combat.
You wanted combat?
That's right.
And did the Marines satisfy your urge?
Yes, I saw enough down at Saipan to satisfy.
Now, what's your attitude after Saipan? Do you still
Think I'll take the big leagues.
What are you now, Ike?
I'm a radar instructor.
Radar? What does a big league pitcher want radar for?
Well, I figured, Ed, by the time I get back up there, I'll be the only pitcher up there that knows how to find a plate, and radar might help me.
Oh, that's... Well, now, Ike, Bromo Seltzer has for you some very hard-to-get items. First, a Telecon electric alarm clock, which I'll bet you didn't see in Saipan. Second, a brand-new electric iron, just in case you want to iron out your fastball if the radar doesn't take care of it. And to take along on those hunting tips they've told us about, here's a 20-gauge pump rifle in big league shape. How do you like those, boys?
Oh, boy, that's really fine. Yeah, that's really
now, for you, Ernie, Bromo Seltzer has first a war bond. Second, because it's your mother's birthday, here's a sterling silver carving knife and fork with stainless steel blade to send to her. And for you, a 17-jewel wristwatch with gold case. How do you like those, young fella?
That's really wonderful. Thank you.
But now, wait a minute. Here's a Vox Pop phone call. Just pick up that phone there for the surprise of your young life. And tell us who's on the other end, will you? Speak right into that phone.
Hello?
Ask him
who's calling.
Who is it?
Leo DeRocher, manager of Brooklyn Dodgers.
Calling from where?
Feeling very fine. How are you?
Where is he? Well, I'll tell you. I know that they want to talk. This youngster wants to talk to Leo DeRocher. It's Leo DeRocher calling from the Chase Hotel in St. Louis, and telling this youngster that he is going to get a big league tryout just as soon as he gets after the Marines. How do you all out there react to that? Thank you. Thank you very, very much, Lieutenant Ike Pearson, and thank you, PFC Ernst Lindmeyer. Here's Peter Donald with some more Marines.
Yes, Anna, this is a Grand Marine, too, a member of the Women's Reserve here doing a great job. From Providence, Rhode Island, Staff Sergeant Virginia Burke. Hail! Tell me, Sergeant, how long you been in the Marines?
I've been in the Marine Corps 2.5 years.
I see you, Yeah, she did, too.
That's right.
You were the first girl to enlist from Rhode Island, weren't you?
Yes, that's right. And this is my second anniversary on Cherry Point today.
Really? 2 years today? Ed Sullivan, this is an anniversary. Will you please see that these 8,000 fellas line up and give the sergeant a little kiss for her birthday after the show? We just don't tell me, Virginia, are you married?
Yes, I am. My husband's in the Navy on an LCT boat in the Pacific.
Oh, he's not a Marine?
No, he's a Navy man.
A Marine and a sailor? Well.
He comes from Atlanta, Georgia, and I come from Rhode Island, but that makes it fine.
The North and the South get on good, too, huh?
We have lots to talk about, and he's a Democrat, and I'm a... Well, I always vote for the best man.
I think we'll hear repercussions on that. Now, tell me, down here, you instruct on link trainers, don't you?
Yes, that's right, I do.
Would you explain a little bit how that works?
Well, the pilots and the enlisted men get in trainers, and we sit outside at the desks and give them problems to do after they're through. We show them what they've done and give them suggestions on how they can improve.
And you mean there's a little thing that traces their course?
Yes, we call it a crab or a bug.
Very cute. Tell me, can you make a little trouble for these guys? Can you make it tougher for them?
We definitely can, no matter how good they are. We can give them as high as 60 knots of wind. We can cover off all their instruments so they don't work. Fly with just one instrument. We can give them static and lots of things.
Oh, you're a nice girl, aren't you? Well, how do the men feel about taking this link training at first, these pilots?
Well, they don't like it. They call it the torture box. But after they've been lost once or twice, they realize that it really is important and it helps them a lot.
Well, you've had some experiences like that, haven't you? They've come back and told you about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. I think our favorite squadron is in charge of Colonel Cran. We worked with him 2 weeks before they went overseas. And believe it or not, when they get overseas, they sent all 60 of us link trainer girls silk stockings. I still have mine. I haven't worn them yet. I'm saving them for my husband.
You're saving them for your husband. That's wonderful. Well, you and your husband are both doing a grand job. You're going to be a housewife after the war?
Yes, but if I could, I'd like to continue link trainer work because I really love it. I've learned an awful lot.
Well, that's wonderful. It seems the Marine Corps has given you a job to do, and you've done a wonderful job for them. Mm-hmm. Now, tell me, what is your husband going to do after the war?
Well, First of all, I guess he'll take care of me. And then...
That's good enough for us. That'll do fine. All right, Virginia. Romo Seltzer has for you, first, for you and your husband to enjoy this pre-war all-chrome Sunbeam automatic coffee maker. There it is. And second, three albums of your favorite records. We did a little espionage, found out your favorites. Paderewski, Ravel's Bolero, and Dinah Shore. That's very good. And of course, the records won't work with your coffee maker, so here's a beautiful portable table model record player. And thank you very much, Sergeant Virginia Burke. Now, sports news. Golf widow gets big surprise. Husband comes home early on a summer afternoon. Our reporter, Ernest Chappell.
And, Peter, this really is a hot story.
Henry, I can't believe my eyes. Whatever brought you home?
Well, honey, I had a headache when I left the office. And what with tramping around in this heat. Whew. Six holes was all I could take.
Too bad, for cool thinking could have brought comfort. Fast fizzing, fast acting Bromo Seltzer, refreshing three-way relief, and then fine playing form for Henry. Yes, headache plus hot weather means double trouble. And when that ordinary headache brings the added discomfort of upset stomach and jittery nerves, then's when you're extra glad of Bromo Seltzer's dependable three-way help. Quickly, Bromo Seltzer swings into action, speedily helps relieve head, stomach, and nerves. You feel three ways better fast. Bromo Seltzer has been in successful use for nearly 60 years, and you'll find no faster, effective headache relief today. Be ready with Bromo Seltzer in the medicine chest. Stop by for it at the drugstore. Buy a bottle of Bromo Seltzer from your druggist tonight, and then...
Fight headache three ways!
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
And now we're back here at Cherry Point with all of these Marine flyers. And here's another Marine I know that you're all going to be interested in greeting. Because here from a typical Main Street in a typical town, Collinsville, Illinois, Private First Class Lloyd N. Gaither. Lloyd, when did you get back to the United States?
I arrived back in the States on Mother's Day, Ed. I hit San Francisco and... Just got time to get a call through.
What a wonderful thrill that must have been. Were they expecting it?
No, sir, they weren't. That was a thrill of it. Mother hadn't heard from me for quite a while.
But tell me, you know, what does a mother say to a youngster who unexpectedly calls her from San Francisco?
Well, I was kind of excited, but all I heard her say was, oh, thank God.
Mm-hmm. What outfit were you with, Lloyd?
I was with VMSB 236.
Well, in 4F civilian language, exactly what do all those initials mean?
Well, V stands for Heavy Air Marine Scout Bomber Squadron 236.
And what was your battle position in the plane?
I was a radio gunner. I flew in the back end.
You mean you sat out in back?
Yeah, I sat backwards. I looked and seen where I'd been instead of where I was going.
I say, how many strikes were you on?
Well, I had a total of 50, 20 in the Solomon Group and 30 in the Philippine Islands.
And exactly what were you doing in the Philippines?
We were giving close air support to the Army there, the ground troops.
Well, you know, we read a lot about exactly what does that mean, close air support?
We dive bomb on targets that's very close to the front lines and knock out pillboxes for them. They specify what they want hit, and we hit it.
Well, how do you avoid hitting your own men if you're up that close?
Well, we're in constant contact with them with radio. They use smoke and panels.
You mean you're actually talking to them all the time you're bombing?
Oh, yes. A couple times I was in a dive, and I heard the liaison officer on the ground say we were right on the target or we were a little off.
Well, the Air Corps actually came into contact with the Japanese infantry.
Oh, yes. They called for strafing runs. We'd have to go down pretty low, and maybe we'd make a couple strafing runs over the Japs and put them in their holes, and the third time we'd come over, we wouldn't strafe, and the Army could move in while the Japs were down.
You chased them into the dugouts, and the Army came in and captured them, huh?
That's it.
Sensational. Now, did you ever get turned loose, or was it always close air support?
No, they turned us loose two or three times there on Luzon to harness the Japs that was retreating out of Manila up into a valley there, and we had unrestricted strafing and bombing, so we used up all our ammo.
Mm-hmm. You really had yourself a field there, you Marines, huh?
That is right.
Now, what are your post-war plans, Lloyd?
Well, I intend to go back to my old job.
Aviation?
No, sir. It's a hobby, yes. I like aviation, but I'll take my old job back.
What job did you have?
Well, I have a job promised with Swift & Company, the same one I had at NS Yards and in the cattle yards working there.
You mean to tell me, young fellow, that as a civilian, you are already picking out a job where you can see steaks and chops on the hoof?
Roger.
Well, Roger, well, good luck to you in that. If you got an extra steak, let me have it. Now, Lloyd Bromo-Seltzer has a gift for your 13-year-old kid sister that we were told about, a gold-filled marine emblem with rhinestones. And I'll bet she'll love this. And for that certain young lady that must be in the background of any marine flyer, a beautiful sterling silver Elgin American Compact. And for you, this beautiful brand-new table model radio. Thank you very, very much, Private First Class Lloyd H. Meacham. Peter Donald, who have you got for us at this moment, my little boy?
Ed, I got a grand fella here. They're all grand, aren't they? All these guys and gals here. We have one of the officers at Cherry Point, recently returned from the Philippines. From Coscob, Connecticut, Captain Holt McAloney.
Captain, welcome to the Vox Pop Show. Thank you. Delighted to have you here. And you have a very magnificent mustache, I must say. In a big place like this, this is a big, big place. I think you have to have one like that so they can see it. They can't see mine, I know. Tell me a little bit about yourself, sir. You're an intelligence officer here?
Yes, sir, I am.
What outfit were you with overseas?
I sailed overseas with the 2nd Battalion of the 25th Marines, but then about a year later, I was transferred to the 1st Marine Air Wing down to the Southwest Pacific.
I see, but they're all good outfits, aren't they?
Oh, they're swell.
I believe that. I understand that the 2nd Battalion had sort of a record of firsts at Saipan.
Yes, they went in on the first assault. They were the first troops on the Oswego airfield. They were the first ones across to the east side of the island.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the first ones up to the north tip.
Well, the reason I ask you that is because I understand you have a couple of firsts yourself. Haven't you got a famous Jeep that I heard about?
Yes, our air liaison party was given a Jeep that had a beautiful plaque on it that it had been bought by the school children of the St. Andrew's School in Erie, Pennsylvania from bond sale. And that Jeep was the first automobile to run on Japanese soil in this war.
I see, but there's another first that I think is a little more important. You were one of the two first Marines, is that right? He didn't want to say this, but I think we will. One of the two first Marines to go into Manila, this gentleman here.
Yes, I...
Will you tell us a bit about that? What were you doing with that outfit?
Well, I had an air liaison jeep, and with my radio operator, Corporal Philip Armstrong, we were attached to the 1st Cavalry Division to make that 100-mile dash down to Manila to rescue the 3,700 civilians who were prisoners by the Japs there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And my job was to ride along with the head of the column and keep in touch with the Marine dive bombers because they were the spearhead and they guarded the whole left flank for this long dash cross country.
Well, how did you find things when you got in there? Did you have any trouble at all?
Yes, we hit town about 6 o'clock in the evening, and it took us about 6 hours of street fighting to get through to Santo Tomas. We felt pretty good when we got there. We found out the next morning that the Japs had blown a bridge about 10 miles out of town and cut off the rest of the division, so 700 of us were in Manila as rescuers with 6,000 Japs around us.
Well, I think that's pretty good odds with guys like you. What was the reaction of the people when you got in there?
Oh, they were so excited, they're almost hysterical to see American troops and American tanks and trucks roll into the gates of the university grounds there. Everyone was screaming and shouting. I heard one girl come running down yelling, "Hello, Americans!" And she got up to where the light shone of the cars. She saw the Marine emblem on my dungarees, and she said, "I've been waiting 3 years to do this. Here's a Marine." And she kissed me.
Well, you did a grand job. You served later with the guerrillas, didn't you?
Yes, after the Manila show, I was run about 50 miles behind the Jap lines, run ashore there with some radio equipment and party of men, and we helped the Japs with their close air support work.
And you would say they're good soldiers?
Oh, the guerrillas are wonderful soldiers. They're a marvelous bunch of chaps. They've got a lot of guts. They've been fighting for 3 years while we've been pretty far away. And they're well-disciplined. They're an army. They aren't just a ragged band.
Well, that's grand. Thanks an awful lot for bringing that to us. And we have a little thing for you. Bromo-Seltzer has. For you, well, with a name like McAloney, we thought, first of all, you'd like this fine pigskin wallet.
I think you could choose that. And we're sending you from New York a post-war model electric mixer. And third, for your lovely home in Connecticut, too, a set of sterling silver salad forks, Wakefield pattern. And thank you very, very much, Captain Holt McAlone. Thanks a lot. Thank you. Be good to yourself is a popular parting phrase. But there's such a thing as being too good to yourself, says Ernest Chappell.
Yes, sirree, Peter. You know, friends, you can stay out a little too late having a good time. You can eat a little too richly of the festive food you enjoy. And then you may wake up with an ordinary headache, perhaps an upset stomach and jittery nerves, too. And that's the signal to try Bromo Seltzer, then make your outlook brighter. Quickly, Bromo Seltzer brings relief, helps ease the headache, helps settle upset stomach, calms jittery nerves. Yes, quickly. Bromo Seltzer dissolves fast, acts fast. You can take Bromo Seltzer after it settles or while it's still fizzing. Caution, use only as directed. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor. Time tested by four generations, Bromo Seltzer is today's best bet for dependable three-way fast relief from headache. Bromo Seltzer, a product of the Emerson Drug Company, comes in four popular sizes. Buy a bottle of Bromo Seltzer from your druggist tonight. And then...
fight headache three ways!
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
And now back here at Cherry Point with 8,000 United States Marine Air Corps flyers and Brazilian visitors, airmen visitors. Another member of the Women's Reserve from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Second Lieutenant Elaine Carville.
Not from Baton Rouge, Ed. From Plaquemine, Louisiana.
From Plaquemine? I knew somebody came from Plaquemine. Wasn't there a ball pitcher by that name?
Yes.
Or from that town?
Bill Lee.
Bill Lee of the Cubs. I remember him. I'm glad you came up here right now because you Brazilians can see a typical American beauty. Lieutenant... oh, I got wanted to get out, though. You know, outside, us 4Fs, never hear of a point system for the discharge of Marines. Don't they ever get out of service, or is it too difficult for Marines to get a discharge?
No, as a matter of fact, Ed, all a Marine has to do to get a discharge is to file an application.
Well, that's wonderful. That's a cinch.
Uh-huh.
That is definitely a cinch.
Of course, the application must be accompanied by the enforcing signature of the Commander-in-Chief, all members of Congress, said applicant's commanding general, as well as his wife, his mother-in-law, and all his offspring.
Oh, well, then a Marine does get points for children.
Oh, sure. 1 point for each set of 10 children.
10 children? Well, what else does he get points for?
It's a very liberal setup. He gets 1 point for the Boxer Rebellion, 1 point for the Spanish-American War, 1 point for the Boston Tea Party, the Battle of Bull Run, and 1 point for the engagement with the Tripoli Pirates.
Bull Run, but suppose maybe he died of old age, then what?
In that case, deceased Marines may apply only in the event that the party in question has no special aptitude which can be utilized by the Marine Corps.
Well, now, wait a minute. Isn't there any shortcut, to get points?
Well, yes, there's just one. You get 10 points for each 6 months served at sunny Cherry Point.
Thank you, Lieutenant Carville, for adding to the gaiety of a great night with the Marine Air Corps. And Bromo Seltzer has for you, because we understand from the other girls that you're quite a tennis player. We're going to send to you from Farron's in New York City the finest tennis racket with press, case, and the works. And second, for a very beautiful young blue-eyed blonde, meaning you, 2 complete summer uniforms, greens and whites, and a gorgeous nightgown and negligee of cool blue crepe. Do you like them? Thank you very much, Lieutenant Carville.
That caused a sensation, Eddie. And now part of the great Marine ground forces, fellow here from Denton, North Carolina, Corporal Robert Henderson. Bob, you're not nervous at all, are you?
Not a bit.
Well, I am, brother. I'm not kidding. How long you been in the Marine Corps?
3 years and 7 months.
You count the months, too?
The days, too.
What are you doing here at Cherry Point now?
Guard duty.
But, now, will you explain the laugh? Why do people laugh at the poor guards?
That's why I say I'm not supposed to like these guys, you know.
Oh, you're not? I see. A little private
feud. Like, wait.
Well, tell me, where were you overseas? Tell me some of the places.
Guam, Bougainville, and Guadalcanal, and Iwo Jima.
Oh, really? When did you go into Iwo?
D-Day.
You really went in on D-Day, huh?
D-Day.
How was it? Tell me a bit about it.
Well, it was pretty rugged going in anyway.
Did you think it was going to be as tough as it turned out to be?
Well, no, when I was going in, sir, I was driving this amphibious tractor, and I could see, I was in the eighth wave, and I could see these guys over on the hill there, you know, and we'd always joked about the Marshall Island campaign, some of these guys probably know, and that a boy on there was in the Marshall Islands. I turned around and went, hey, buddy, I said, it's going to be another Marshall's. About that time, a shell hit behind me, another one hit in front of me. Well, maybe she ain't going to be so easy after all. Let's get out of here.
Of course, I suppose you saw a lot of these Marine flyers flying over.
Oh, yeah, I saw quite a few of them. They really did a good job over there. They're responsible for us taking the island. They bombed Sir Bocci there. They strafed the pillboxes, kept them pinned down until we could get to the island.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
well, they're not a bad bunch of guys.
No, for my money, they're plenty okay.
Oh, good. Well, you mentioned Mount Sir Bocci. Weren't you there at the famous flag raising somebody told you?
Yeah, I was at the foot of Sir Bocci when the flag was raised.
Really?
I saw the flag go up. I was working on my tractor. Some of the boys says there glows old glory, and I looked up, and there she was. Looked swell.
Didn't look good?
Kidding.
Okay, fine. It looks good on any island,
not
too.
Kidding.
Well, I tell you, Bromo Seltzer has for you, well, I don't know about you. How old are you?
21.
21. Do you shave much?
Every other day, anyway.
Every other day. Well, I'll tell you what we got for you. This is sort of on speculation. Bromo Seltzer has bought you a brand new Sunbeam Shave Master electric razor. Now, that's to start off with. And second, a real Zippo windproof lighter with a marine emblem on it. And four, well, you got a girl?
I have a girl. Friend.
Well, we won't try to explain that one. Well, for that girl, anyway, we have a lovely ladies' 17-jewel Kingston wristwatch. What do you think of that, okay?
Pretty nice.
All right, fine. Thanks an awful lot, Bob. You're a grand guy. Thanks, Corporal Bob Henry.
You know, Peter, that'll give you a rough idea of what these gyrenes are like or making history out there in the Pacific.
Yeah, Ed, from what we've seen, I know they're just a bunch of regular American guys, but that Marine Corps training and the spirit have made them the toughest fighting men the world's ever seen. Really? Oh, yes. You can applaud yourselves. You're worth it. Every bit of it. Ed, what's on for next week?
Well, next week, Peter, I think... Well, I don't think I know. The Vox Pop Special pulls into the Naval Hospital at Philadelphia.
Well, incidentally, you know that's going to be our last show together, Edward, my boy, before Parks, Johnson, and Warren Hull come back from their well-earned vacation. And I'm certainly glad we'll have a chance to talk with those 12 Navy guys just back from overseas.
Well, right you are, Peter. And now we want to tell you here in the Marine Base that we've had the most wonderful time in all the world. You're a grand audience and a grand group.
Yes, sir.
And now, good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next Monday night, same time, same station, when Ed and Peter visit the U.S. Naval Hospital in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Meanwhile, remember, next time an ordinary headache strikes, get three-way relief fast.
Right, headache, three-way.
This is Ernest Chappell bidding you good night for Bromo Seltzer. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.